Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for listening to My Transformation. I'm going to do this a little different today. I'm on here live because my last two messages were done on a cassette tape recorder because I did it in my car because of my new work schedule. So I'm going to play the tape recorder and hopefully you can hear it. I'm going to turn the volume up as loud as I can. And so we're going to start out with my favorite song, To God.
Oh,
the tape message that I'm going to play for you is actually two different meditations. And I'm just going to go ahead and play the entire tape because there's a couple other things on there that I believe I already shared. But I'm just going to let the tape play through, and that way we'll be all caught up. So this is a different way of doing things, but at least it will catch me up. And then the next time I share a message, it'll be updated, at least by one day. I'll just be one day off versus 5 or 6 days off. Okay, hopefully you can hear this tape. If you don't hear it too well, if you don't hear any of my recordings too good, please send me a message and let me know, because when I listen to them, I can barely hear them. I don't know if it's because of my system or if that's actually how it sounds to everybody. So if you have a problem hearing my recordings, please let me know, and I'll find another way to do this. Thank you.
Today is April 10, 2013. Today's Bible verse is coming from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some people think that they're not sinners because they are do-gooders. But God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you say that you don't sin or that you're not a sinner, then you're calling God a liar. God is truth. The word is truth. And God's word says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all we have to do is confess that, yes, we are sinners. You can be a sinner in deed, a sinner in thought, a sinner in action, but we're all sinners. We are born into sin. And Jesus came to take away our sins, to wash away our sins, but we have to confess those sins and ask forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, and then they are forgiven. Sins are not forgiven just because you say you're doing good or you're living a good life and you treat people good, and that doesn't have anything to do with your forgiveness. It has nothing to do with God forgiving you for being a sinner. So the blood of the Lamb, that's what God looks for. He looks for the blood. So your good works has nothing to do with His forgiving your sins, because forgiveness is not earned. It is given. Salvation is not earned. It is given. So if you are living a good life and you're treating people good and you're saying good things and you're acting good and you're helping and volunteering and just living as pure a life as you can, if you have not confessed your sins to God, if you believe deep down in your heart that you are not a sinner, then God has not forgiven you, and God will not forgive you. The amplified part of verse 8 and 9 says, if we say we have no sin, refusing to admit that we are sinners, we delude and lead ourselves astray. And the truth which the gospel presents is not in us. It does not dwell in our hearts. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promises, and will forgive us our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to His will and purpose, thought, and action. So we can sin with our intentions, we can sin with our actions, and we can sin with our thoughts. Because sometimes, for instance, if you see someone and then you just immediately dog the person in your mind because you don't like the way the person look or the way the person talk or dress, if you say something that is unbecoming about that person, you've sinned. That's a sin. if you see somebody and they left their purse, you know, by accident, and then you like walk by real quick and snatch it up, hoping nobody see you snatch it, and then you take something out of that purse, that's a sin. You stole it. You took something that did not belong to you. That's stealing. That's a sin. So that's your action. So we talk about your action, your thoughts, and then if your intentions are deceptive, if you act like you're going to do something or act like you're somebody you're not, and you deceive people, and let's just say, let's just keep it churchy. Okay, let's say you are a political preacher. You're not called by God, but you are actually a political preacher, someone who just went to school to become a minister, and then you go and get yourself a church, and you act like you're called by God to preach, and you fool all the people in the congregation. And then their donations, their tithes, you use it for your own personal benefit and not use it where you're supposed to be using it. That's a sin. That's deceptive. That's the wrong intention. You intended to use those people, God-fearing people, God-loving people, you intended to use them for your own profit. That's a sin. So their sin is done in so many different ways. And so if you just say you're not a sinner or you don't sin because you think you're a Miss Goody Two-Shoe or Mr. Goody Two-Shoe, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's not right. Because God says all have sinned. And if you think that you're not a sinner or that you don't sin, then you're calling God a liar. There is no lie in God's word. God's word is truth. Truth. And I like to say this, the truth shall set you free. So when you believe in and understand God's word, it's truth. There is no lie. God's word is truth because God is truth and the word is God. So God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And if God is the word does not lie. So if the word says all have sinned, then all have sinned. That includes you. That includes your baby before it's even born. Well, I ain't going to say before it's born. But even little babies, little innocent babies, all have sinned. Because that baby is going to have a thought that you don't even know about. Or that baby is going to do something that you don't even consider a sin. But God says all have sinned. And I remember years ago, people were like, well, what about little innocent babies? And, you know, why do they go through such terrible things? And they're innocent. And nobody's innocent. Nobody's innocent. Once you become a human being, you're not innocent. When you are born into the flesh, you're not innocent. You become a human being. You become under the sin, the law of sin, when you're born, because you're a human being. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when Jesus Christ was sent to be the Savior of the world, his blood is to wash over everybody who acknowledges that they are sinners and confess their sins, verbally confess their sins. Confess their sins within the depths of their heart. Not say, okay, I'm a sinner and forgive me. And it's just lip service. When you deal with God, it's not a lip service. And I know some people say the prayer, Lord, come into my heart and save me, for I'm a sinner, and wash me of your blood, in Jesus' name, amen. But they don't feel those words in their heart. They just say them, because they're told that if they say this prayer, then you're saved, and you'll never lose your salvation, and on and on and on. But if it's not coming from your heart, if it's not coming from your heart, then there is no salvation. You're just giving a lip service. Just like if you give lip service and believe that you're saved because you said that prayer, and then you go get baptized, and the baptism is supposed to represent the washing of the sins and the washing away of the old life and coming up to the new life, sin-free, you're going to go down a sinner and come up a wet sinner. So salvation is heart-based. For, confessing of your sins is heart-based. based. Everything is heart based when it comes to God. And God knows your heart. God knows everybody's heart. And if you are just doing lip service, if your intention is, well, I'm just going to say this prayer, or I'm just going to say, I'm a sinner, I confess my sins. And if you're just going to do everything from the mind, then it's not genuine. It's not genuine. And God is not going to listen to that. God is not going to hear that. He's going to hear the genuine confession of sins. He's going to hear the genuine prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He knows everybody's heart. He knows whether you're being truthful or deceptive. God knows everything. God knows everything. He knows you better than you know yourself. Better than you know yourself. So you can't trick God. You can't fool God. You can trick people and fool people. But when it comes to God, you cannot trick or fool him at all. You can think you're getting away with something, but you're not. Just because you fool people, just because you're going around acting like you're saved or acting like you're led by God or acting like you're receiving God's word that he wants you to deliver to the people, just because you act that way and people believe you and trust you does not mean God does not know the truth about you. He does. And you will be judged for that. And if you're misleading people, misguiding people, deceiving people, God's going to hold that against you. He's going to hold that against you because he knows everything. He knows your intentions. He knows your heart. He knows if you're really there to help the people or if you're really there to deceive them and take from them and use them and abuse them mentally. He knows all that. He knows all that. You cannot hide from God. God is everywhere. There's nothing you can do or say or think that God does not already know. He knows. He knows you so well that he knows exactly how your life is going to pan out. He knows what you're going to do during your lifetime. He knows all that stuff ahead of time. Isn't it something to have a father who just knows your every move before you even know your move? Who knows your every thought before you even think it? Well, God does, because there is nothing God does not know. How can you be all-knowing and don't know something? That's not possible. You're either all-knowing or you're not. You're either everywhere or you're not. So how can God not know something that you're already going to do or already thinking? He knows everything. So he knows your thought before you think it. He knows your action before you think it. He knows your intentions before you make them. He knows where you're going to go before you go there, before you even know yourself where you're going to go. He knows what choices you're going to make before you even make them or before you even know you're going to have choices presented to you. God knows everything, everything. And if we keep that in mind and then say, Lord, should I do this? Because he knows what you're going to do. So if you seek him first, then he can direct you in that direction or in a better direction. So sometimes I forget. Lord, should I do this, or is this what I should do, or where I should go, or, you know, sometimes I don't remember to do that all the time, but if, just think about it, if we do remember to do that all the time, then we'll always be in the right place at the right time and doing the best thing for us, because God knows. So even though he already knows what you're going to do, if you go and seek him first, if you seek his counsel before you actually do it, then he can lead you in another direction. Or he can give you the green light. Yeah, this is a good place to go. This is a good direction for you, a good path for you. You know, and that's why it's good to seek him before we make major decisions in our lives. Just to make sure that we're on the right path, the best path for us. I thank you again for listening to My Transformation. And may God continue to lead you on your path. And may you continue to ask God and seek God's direction for your life so that you can be on a path that's best for you. God bless. I was just at a stop sign, and I just had to record this because it was like, this is a sign from God. There was a 1, 2, 3, 4 lane road. Two lanes were two left turns, and I was in one of those lanes. Then there was one lane that was straight, and then there was one right turn lane. Now, I was in a left turn lane, and I was like, man, it was long. The lane was so long that we couldn't really fit. I said, isn't this going to be two lanes? I kept trying to peek around the cars, you know. I said, it's going to be two left turn lanes. But the fact is, it was so many cars wanting to turn left that the whole lane was full. And then I looked in the middle lane. It was nobody. I could see anybody in the middle lane. The whole time I sat there in that left lane, nobody drove up into the middle lane. Nobody. And then I saw a lot of people in the right lane, driving in the right lane. They were making their, you know, right turns. And so I'm sitting there, and like 3 minutes went by, 4 minutes went by. And then when the light finally changed, I drove. And then when I got close to the light, I saw one car sitting in that straight lane. I'm like, oh, my God. Because the whole time I was sitting there not seeing any cars drive in that straight lane, the thing that came to my mind was take the narrow road. How many people take the narrow road? Not many people at all take the narrow road. Everybody wants to go a different way. They go to the left, they go to the right, but they don't take the narrow road. And that's what came to my mind when I saw that. I said, this is God. This is God giving me a message. Let me know that a lot of people go all kinds of different paths to reach him or thinking they're reaching him, and they just don't take that narrow road. It's a straight road to Jesus. It's a straight road to God, a straight one, straight, narrow path to him. But all that turning left and turning right, and it was so many more cars going left. So I'm thinking, what does that mean? I guess you got to do some kind of research to see what going left means. But most of the cars were waiting to go left, but there were cars, a lot of cars going right, but only one little car sitting in that center lane. And I only saw that car when our lane finally turned green, because that car was sitting at the red light, and I couldn't see that car from where I was. It wasn't until I got up to the light that I saw, oh, there's one car. But the whole time, not one other car got in that center lane. That is not a coincidence. That is a sign from God, showing me how people go all these different paths. All these different paths. They turn left, they turn right, they go backwards, they go around this corner, they do that. But nobody's going the straight path. I ain't going to say nobody. Not many people are going the straight path. One car sitting in that middle lane, waiting for the light to turn. One car. And everybody else sitting in the left lane or moving along in the right lane. Wasn't that something? I just thought I had to put this on here, you know, because I didn't want to use this thought. So I'm going to record this right now. So I'm going to go ahead and get off this thing because I'm in this traffic. But I just had to put this on here. Make up.
I'm almost home, and I just saw this guy standing on the corner talking to this other man, and he had this big sign that he was holding, so I'm up there trying to read the sign, and it said, repent. It says, Jesus Christ is Lord, repent and believe. I'm like, oh my God. So first it was a sign of nobody on a narrow road, on the straight path, and then it's this guy standing up there saying, Jesus Christ is Lord, repent and believe. And then the messages that God gave was repent, I am a forgiven God. God, I'm telling you, something serious is going on, so I hope you, if you have not made your decision to choose God and choose Jesus, oh my Lord, I just had to get on here and get this, because this is just not a coincidence. This is awesome. I'm excited to see what God has planned. I don't know about you, but I am just so excited. God, what are you getting ready to do? Oh my Lord, because the messages he got me given is about know Jesus, know you, repent. I'm a forgiven God. And when he told me it was the last call, and then this guy standing on the corner with a big old sign, have received his son, that you have repented. Because I don't know what God is getting ready to do, but it's going to be serious. It's going to be serious. Anyway, until I come back.
Message was given on April 11, 2013. The Bible verses that we're going to go through are Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, Mark 1, 9, and Mark chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to read those verses because I didn't write them down in my notes, so I'll read the verses first. And then I'll start with my notes. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Mark 1, 9. And it came to pass, in those days, that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Mark 2, 8 and 9. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. So those are the verses that God gave me. I'm going to read my notes to you. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan. When he forgave a man's sin, he was accused of blasphemy, and told that only God can forgive sins. Jesus proved that he had the right and authority and power on earth to forgive sins. He told the paralyzed man that his sins are forgiven and to take up his bed and walk. Jesus is God. He's proven his power. He is not possessed by the devil, as some believe, and some still do believe that. He is God. I and my Father are one. If you know me, you know the Father. If you do not believe, believe in the works I've done in my Father's name. How can you say you know the Father if you do not see the Father in me? Now, these are not quoted from the Bible. These are just some verses that I remember being in there, and I just wrote them in my words. But you can look them up, because they blasphemed Jesus when he was forgiven sins. They said things about him when he was healing people on the Sabbath. And, you know, these are religious people we're talking about. And they're supposed to know God. Those religious people were supposed to be given the word of God and living godly lives and leading the people in a godly path. But they didn't even recognize Jesus as God. So if you're going around preaching God's word and living by the Bible, then why do you not recognize the Son of God? Why do you not recognize him? And this thought just came to my mind, because these people saw his works. People have gone to them and said, you know, I was blind, now I see. I couldn't walk, I was crippled, now I walk. You know, they saw the miracles of Jesus. And instead of them embracing him and seeing him as the Son of God here on the planet, they accused him of being possessed by the devil. They accused him of blasphemy. How can he be God, you know? So they didn't know God. They didn't know him. They knew of him, but they didn't know him. If they knew him, then they would have recognized his only begotten son. How can you know the Father if you don't even recognize his son? How can you say you know the Father if you don't see the Father in Jesus? God performs miracles because God can do all things. God can be everywhere. God knows all things. If you know God, then you would see God in Jesus. So that's a good question. How can you say you know the Father if you don't see the Father in me? If you don't believe in me, at least believe in the works that I have done in the name of the Father. So they didn't even believe in the healings that he did. They thought he was being possessed by the devil and doing that stuff in the devil's name. I mean, come on, man. That don't make any sense. The devil's not about healing and all that. The devil, if you're one of his people, yeah, he's going to give you the world. Because he owns, it's like he owns the earth. You know, he has dominion on the earth. But he don't own it. God owns everything. Everything's God's. But he has been given dominion on the earth. But we as human beings, we have the choice to follow the devil or follow him. We cannot serve two masters. God said, you cannot serve two masters. You can't have one foot in heaven and one foot on earth. Either both feet on earth or both feet in heaven. You can't have two masters and serve them at the same time. You either serve the devil or you serve God, one or the other. You can't do both. And that's what God was saying. So Satan, he has dominion on the earth. That's why he gets away with so much. That's why he does so much. That's why he has so many followers. Because this is his domain. You know? So, but if you out there preaching the word and you have to tell people about God and you don't even know God for yourself, if you're sitting up there believing in God and you're denying Jesus and you're saying Jesus is just a teacher, he's not God, and it says right in the Bible, I and my Father are one. Those words were spoken by Jesus. I and my Father are one. So yes, they are one. And yes, that means he is God. I mean, he cannot be one with the Father and not be God too. If he isn't God, then God isn't God either. That's what makes sense to me. So, that's the message for today. There's so many people speaking about God as if they know him, but they deny Jesus, God's only begotten Son. If you deny Jesus, you do not know God. If you're preaching about God and you deny Jesus, and or you only say that Jesus is a teacher, just one of the disciples or some lower level like that, you don't know God. You don't know God. And it's a lot of people being taught false doctrine. And there are people being raised on false doctrine. There are people believing in false doctrine. But God says right here, just like the other day, when he showed me that example of the narrow way and the wide way, too many people choose the wide way. Too many people choose to go away from God than to God, but there's a lot of people being steered away from God. God is a straight path. Salvation is a straight path. And too many people are being taught that they have to go do this, do that, and all this other stuff before they can reach the Father. And it's simply not true. Now, when I had all my questions and stuff, and I was like, there's more to life than this. And so when I was searching, and I'm going church to church, trying to find truth, and when the preachers and stuff couldn't even answer my questions, or whatever answer they gave me didn't make any sense, I continued on my own search. And that's how I ran into the metaphysical world. And then when I ran into the metaphysical world, I ran into the metaphysical world when I started reading Eastern books from Eastern masters. That's okay. Then some of my questions started getting answered, but I still had more questions because reading those Eastern books and learning about that type of stuff made me have more questions. So I kept on asking questions and asking questions. I just gave up. I said, Lord, teach me. I want you to teach me one on one. I'm trying to fix this microphone here. It makes so much noise. But I said, Lord, I want you to teach me one on one. I said, I'm tired of going to these people and hearing their answers and still having more questions or not understanding what they're really saying. I said, I want you to teach me one on one. And then I started learning to meditate. And then in that meditation, I was taught that, you know, you meditate to get the answers. So I learned to meditate. I started meditating. And it started coming right away. Right away. And that's when I started writing the ancient languages. I started writing ancient languages maybe 2 days after I started meditating. And I said, Lord, teach me. So he started teaching me. He started teaching me all kinds of stuff. He took me way back and brought me all the way up. So I got to delve into that metaphysical world. And that's how I learned who I am, what I am, going through that. And then I came all the way back around, right back to God. Right back to God. So when you go in those different routes, if you ask God, show you the way, teach you one-on-one, that's what I did. I said, show me, teach me one-on-one. Who am I? What am I? What am I here for? He took me into that metaphysical world. He showed me that I am a spirit, not a human being. So he taught me that. He taught me that I am powerful. He taught me all kinds of stuff. And as I was learning all these things, I said, wow. And then I went and I started practicing this stuff. And yeah, I am blessed with a special power. And I used that power on myself. I did my family. I did some people. I went out and started doing like vending things to these health and wellness places and spiritual places. And so I was in that world for a little bit. And then I started creating projects. And they're done on my part, but I would still need the right type of partners to complete the work. But the majority of the work is done. And so I started doing these different projects that has God's power in it. So, yeah, I went that route, and then it brought me right back to the Father. Because after I learned everything I wanted to learn, God showed me, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. God is everything. God is everything. So even if you go all these different routes, even if you try all these different things, it's going to lead you right back to God. And if what you're trying and what you're doing don't lead you back to God, then you're in the wrong direction. You're in the wrong path. You took the wrong turn. Because God, as he showed me in that demonstration with the traffic, God is straight. He is on the straight path. You can go directly to God. And that's what I ended up doing. Because going to different churches, getting answers from different people, searching here, searching there, they did not take me directly to God. They helped me learn more about myself. They helped me confuse me. They helped confuse me more. They helped me ask more questions until I start asking the right questions. So you get something out of it. But the path that you're going to wind up on is the path straight to God. So some people, you know, if you don't want to be doing all that searching and getting frustrated and irritated, because I went through a lot of frustration. I went through a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of frustration looking for the truth. So if you don't want to go that way, or if you've been going that way for years and years and want to get off that road and get on the right one, to get on that straight road to Jesus. Get on that straight road so that you can have a direct communication with the Father. A direct, straight line communication with the Father. And he will show you what you want to know. And he will teach you. And I am just so thankful that he is my Father and my teacher, my instructor, my discipliner. He's my everything. He is my everything. And I thank him for his word. And I am, that's a day behind. So this is actually, today is the 12th, April 12th, and I'm going over, this is April the 11th. But you didn't have to know that, but I'm telling you. I'm a day behind. So I'm here waiting to go to work, but I want to get this done. And then I will do today's meditation later today. But I just want to thank you, and I'm just thanking those people who are really searching for the truth, because the truth is in Jesus. That's what the truth is. It's not going to be, per se, in your church or in somebody's beliefs or anything like that. If you want to know the truth of who you are, what you are, and why you're here, you'll know it when the Father tells you. when he shows you. And he would do that when you really earnestly want to know. I wanted to know so bad. I searched. I was on the internet hours and hours and hours, like all day till the next morning. I had boxes of stuff that I had copied down. They had printed. Boxes of printed material of these different things. And it was all from the metaphysical world. But God is mystic. God is. And some people, they just want to be on the religious side. But no, God is all things. How do you think Jesus performed the miracles? He performed miracles. That's the mystic side, the miracles that Jesus performed. So God is God of all things. And but it's going to lead you, no matter what path you go on, it's going to lead right back to God. So I went into a circle. I started out knowing who I am, what I am. And then I got mixed up into the world, thinking that something was wrong with me because the world was so different and I felt like such an outsider. And I dipped and dabbed in that world. It was wrong. Then I got so separate from the truth that I hungered for the truth. Truth that I had already had. But being mixed up in the world, I forgot I even had the truth in the beginning. I got lost. And so I got found again. And when I got found again, it took me right back to God. Right back to God. And that's where I'm at right now. Right back in my Father's arms. So he'll let you go do here, do this, do that. He'll watch you. He'll watch you. But as long as you keep that light lit inside of you, he'll always be there. Just keep that light lit. Hunger and want to know him. I hungered. And I had shared that I was hungering for something but didn't know what. Because I had forgotten. Because I allowed the world to mess me up. I stepped into it when I didn't want to. Thinking that something was wrong with me. There was absolutely nothing wrong with me. But the world made me think that it was. And it caused me to lose a lot of valuable time. But during that time, I was able to learn some lessons. I was able to learn what I would never, ever get involved in again. So I learned a lot. But I'm glad I came right back to the Father. It was a circle. It was a complete circle. A complete circle. You start with the Lord, you end with the Lord. So my prayer is that you make that complete circle. Because we all started with the Lord. We all started with the Lord. So I pray that you will reach that circle. That you will complete that circle and go back to the Father. Go back to the Father. That's all he wants. He just wants us to come back, be his children, and he be our Father. Because he is. He started out that way. And he would like for you to come back to him as his child. And look at him again as your Father. Because he is our true Father. Thank you again for listening to My Transfer.